I invite you to open to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Well, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 instead. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, as you find your place there, let's stand out of respect for the word of God. We'll begin with verse number 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. In this passage of Scripture where Paul talks about what drives him and what motivates him, in the middle of the passage we read, it talks about some things that he wants to know there in verse number 10. And one of those things that he wants to know besides him, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of his sufferings, one of the things he wants to know, is the power of his resurrection. The power of the resurrection of Christ, I think, so often we overlook in our Christian lives. The resurrection of Christ is something that we all know of, and we think, well, that's to be relegated to springtime around the end of March or early April when we have Resurrection Sunday. And we fail to recognize that the resurrection of Christ has a tremendous impact on our lives, our Christian lives, every day of the year, at least it ought to, just as the birth of Christ isn't just to be regulated to the month of December, but it's something we should celebrate all year round, that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the resurrection of Jesus should be our focus throughout the year. And so I want to focus in on that, the resurrection of Christ, just simply five things about the resurrection of Jesus Christ that apply to your life and to mine. And the first of those is found in the first chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 4, well, we need to back up to get this in its context. After introducing himself in verses 1 and 2, he says in verse number 3, concerning his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And so the first thing we can learn about the resurrection of Christ for our daily lives is that it verifies Jesus as God. If you talk to different people about different things, and sometimes even people who call themselves Christians will ask, how do we know we're right? How do we know the Muslim is wrong? How do we know the Buddhist is wrong? How do we know that Jesus really is God? Well, there's one big difference between Jesus and the founder of all these other religions is that Jesus is God. And how do we know Jesus is God? By one unmistakable proof. Really, that's all we need. There are other proofs as well, but the one unmistakable proof is that when you go to his tomb, he's not there any longer. I'm told that if you were to visit Jerusalem, there would be two different possibilities, two different tombs that they claim was Jesus' tomb. Now that in itself proves the resurrection of Christ. Because if we knew which one was his,
there would still be his remains in that tomb. But both tombs are empty. Neither one has any remains of our Lord and Savior, because he did not stay dead, but he rose again from the dead. And so this one that we serve, this one that we call our Savior, is God himself. And the way he proved it to us and to the rest of the world is by raising himself from the dead. As this verse tells us, he declared himself to be the Son of God with power. He's not an impotent God. He's not a God who can't do something about the needs that you have. He's not a God who can't reach down and intervene in the lives of man, but he's the God with power. The same God who spoke these worlds into existence. The same God who allowed you to be conceived in your mother's womb. He is a God of power who's coming again one day. The question is, are you ready to meet this Son of God who declared himself to be God with power by his resurrection? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter what we've accomplished in life. It doesn't matter what other people think of us. All that matters is what we've done with Christ. He is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins, was buried for 3 days, but then rose again with power and life. Secondly, the resurrection of Christ not only verifies Jesus as God, but turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. How does the resurrection of Jesus affect our lives? Paul said, I want to know the resurrection, the power of the resurrection in my daily life. Do you want to know the power of the resurrection in your daily life? The first thing is that you'll have absolutely no question as to the deity of Jesus Christ. You'll know beyond any shadow of doubt that you are serving Almighty God and that every other religion is false and simply the imagination of man. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, we find out about a second thing that the resurrection of Christ will how it will impact our lives. Verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The second thing we can learn about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how its power will impact our daily life is that as we consider the resurrection of Christ and all that it means to us, it will veil the trials of this earthly life. Part of being alive is having some sort of trial or some sort of trouble in our lives. Now, we don't go through them constantly for the most part, but that is a part of living. Having things come in our lives that are difficult to deal with, it's just a part of life. Now, how do we get through life with a smile on our face? Because if you look at some of the lost people, they don't have a clue how to deal with these things. And they go through all kinds of extended periods of depression, and we've got them taking their own lives because they just think it's just not worth it. How do we get through it as Christians? Well, we just look at the resurrection of Christ and what it means to us. He talks about being born to there in verse number 3, begotten us again unto a lively hope. The begotten again is being born again, and we have a hope that those that aren't born again don't have. Now, that hope is enumerated for us there in verse number 4, and that's that inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, when we're going through trials and troubles, what we do is we have this hope that isn't a hope that means I hope Michigan wins this year against Ohio State. Now, I have no idea whether they're going to win or lose. I'd like to think they at least have a fighting chance, but chances are not this year. But I hope they'll win. Paul's not talking about that kind of a hope. He's talking about a hope that you Ohio State fans are feeling right now, saying we're going to kick the tar out of them. They don't have a chance. They might as well just stay home because we're going to beat them so badly. But he's talking about even a greater hope. And you know this, I've told you this before, and you've heard it from other places. The word hope here could be substituted with the word expectation, certainty, anticipation. Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, we have something that those that don't know Christ just don't have. And we have it, according to verse number 3, based on the resurrection of Christ. Because He rose from the dead, we know we will. Because He's in heaven, we know we'll be there with Him. Because He's there and has shown and displayed His deity and His power, we know He'll reward us for all the things we've done for Him. And even if we haven't done much for Him, just getting to heaven is sure better than the options, the only other option. And that's suffering for all eternity in the fires of hell. We have something to look forward to that those without Christ don't have, that those of another religion just can't experience. You know, it drives them crazy, too. They may not admit it to your face, but they just can't understand how you can go through a difficult situation in this world, a difficult trial, and still trust the Lord, and still have a smile on your face, and still be happy, and still be talking about eternal things. They cannot understand it, and it drives them absolutely nuts. At least if you respond in that way. If you're not responding that way, you need to experience the power of the resurrection, as Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is not a one-time-a-year resurrection day experience. It's to be experienced day in, day out, month after month, year after year. The first thing it does for us is it verifies that Jesus is God. The second thing for us that it does is that it veils the trials of earthly life. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is this chapter called? Somebody should know. I just asked this recently in church. I think I heard it. Okay, the resurrection chapter. Very good. 1 Corinthians 15 is referred to as a resurrection chapter. From almost beginning to end, it talks all about the resurrection, not just of Jesus, but our resurrection. And what a wonderful chapter that God spent detailing all the details for us about it. But let's begin towards the end of the chapter. Verse number 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that the resurrection of Jesus Christ vanquishes our great enemy. Now, what is our great enemy? You may think I said that grammatically incorrect. You may think it's, I should have said, who is our great enemy rather than what is our great enemy. But according to this verse here, verse 56, we have one great enemy, and that great enemy is death. And when you think about it, that is very true. Because our life is determined by when that day of death will come. We all know we're living on borrowed time, that we can't determine how many days we have left, nor can we pick the day of our departure. We know that our time is short, and to try to squeeze what we want to get done into those days can oftentimes be a challenge. But even a greater enemy of death, as death, is that we all have this foreboding feeling towards death. But you know, the world looks at death, if they have any common sense anywhere, and they fear it, those that are lost. With the prevalence of humanism being taught and evolutionism being taught, you have a whole generation lacking a fear of death. And they say, why should I fear dying? It'll just simply be the end of my existence. Well, let them try to end their existence. They'll find out it doesn't ever end. It just transfers from this earth to hell, for the most part, if they're trusting in evolution and in humanism. And so they have a great fear of death because, number one, they don't know what's on the other side. Do you know what's on the other side? I hope so, because God spent a lot of time in His Word telling you what's on the other side of death. We close our eyes here and we're present with the Lord. That's what God told the Apostle Paul to write. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why the resurrection of Christ, because He is God and He's still alive and He's in heaven right now, vanquishes our great enemy, the enemy of death. Because we know that when this body drops in lifelessness, our soul will depart immediately to be with Him in heaven. And so it changes the way in which we live. Now we don't live carelessly and we don't hasten that day. But we don't have to fear it like others do. We can approach it with calmness and even with joy, knowing that our Savior is just on the other side of the door. Now, let me just take a minute and talk about the other enemy, and that's the devil. And that's probably who you all thought when I first said it vanquishes our enemy, the devil. Now, the devil technically is not our enemy. He's the enemy of Christ. And because we're a Christian, he hates us. Because we're made in the image of God, he hates us. And he tries to defeat us and he becomes our enemy. But we just need to step back and let the Lord fight our battles for us. We need to resist the devil and draw nigh unto God. It's just an easy recipe that God gives us in the book of James on how to defeat the devil. You see, it's not our battle. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. Our battle is with death. And we can conquer it and vanquish that enemy the moment we trust Christ. Nothing left to fear or be concerned about. As we move up in the chapter to verse number 12, we find a fourth area in which the resurrection of Jesus affects our daily lives. First of all, it verifies Jesus as God. Secondly, it veils the trials of earthly life. Thirdly, it vanquishes the great enemy. Fourthly, it validates our resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. The Bible tells us, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" And so Paul is talking here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, all the implications of a false doctrine going on there at Corinth. There are some preaching that Jesus rose from the dead, but He's the only one. Nobody else is going to raise from the dead. That's what they were teaching and preaching. And God is exposing the foolishness of such teaching. He's saying if Jesus rose, then everybody else is going to raise as well. And so we have the guarantee, it validates our future resurrection. Now, all the implication of that is our final point. And that's at the end of the chapter. And how the resurrection of Jesus should affect our lives on a daily basis. First of all, it verifies Jesus as God. Secondly, veils the trials of earthly life. Thirdly, vanquishes the enemy of death. Fourthly, validates our future resurrection. And then finally, it vitalizes the Christian life. Vitalizes the Christian life. Look in verse number 58. After he spends all this time talking about the resurrection, assuring us that one day we too, as born again believers in Jesus Christ, that we too one day will be resurrected, whether it be through the resurrection from death or resurrection of life, where we were alive and changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. He says, "Therefore, because of all this that's gone before," he says, "my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so it brings vitality to our Christian life because we're assured, first of all, that Jesus is God. And He still sits on the throne of judgment over all that's done here on this planet and throughout this universe. There is no escaping His authority because He is God. Secondly, His resurrection is designed to change our focus from the trials of earth to heavenly reward. That's where our focus should be, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Then thirdly, death should not bring fear. Our enemy has been vanquished and our resurrection validated. We know there is an afterlife that will stand before our judge and will give an answer for how we dealt with the things in life. And so it gives vitality to our Christian life, knowing that we need to serve our Savior because we will one day answer for all these things that we do in the body, whether they be good or bad, according to 1 or 2 Corinthians 5:10 about the judgment seat of Christ. The resurrection of Christ should drive us to faithfulness for our Savior. It should drive us to service for our Savior, and it should drive us to worship of our Savior, because we know that one day these eyes will close in what we call death. And at the moment they close in what we call death, they will open in eternal life. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, they won't open in eternal life. They'll open in eternal death. They'll still open to the pitch blackness of the hottest fire that man could ever experience, known as hell. I hope that's not your state. If it is, during the invitation, you just come to the front, get my attention. We'll have someone show you out of God's Word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're here this morning and you're saved, let me encourage you, dedicate your life, whatever's left of it, whether it be many years, whether it just be a few days, dedicate the rest of it to serving your Savior. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for the assurance of your resurrection and the effect it can have in our lives. Father, may all of us have the same motivation of the Apostle Paul. Father, that we want to experience the power of your resurrection in our lives on a daily basis. Father, that we don't want to be weak and unempowered Christians. And Father, help us to learn to lean upon your power rather than our own, that resurrection power that raises the dead. Father, that we might make a difference in this world in which you've placed us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.